Welcome back to the Owl Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Carpenter. Today, we're sharing with you a segment of one of our episodes of the Leadership Speaker Series. The Leadership Speaker Series is a bi-monthly virtual event featuring an alumni from across the landscape of Sigma Pi. This event is led by CEO, Jonathan M. Frost, who provides a strategic update on the fraternity, followed by an interview with the featured guest. An update on Sigma Pi Educational Foundation is also provided at the end of each event. I hope you enjoy this segment of the Leadership Speaker Series.
All right, well, welcome everybody to the Leadership Speaker Series. And what I want to do is I want to welcome you all and introduce you to Brother Jack Lazar. I'm going to read his bio real quick. Jack has over 30 years of Silicon Valley experience with a focus on finance and operations. He has served in executive leadership roles at GoPro, Qualcomm, Atheros, NetRatings, Aptitude, and Electronics for Imaging. He was part of the teams that took four of these companies public and CFO for three of the IPOs. In his operating and board of director roles, Jack has spent part of over $25 billion in M&A equity spend and debt transactions. He's currently on the board of, or currently on the boards of Box, Casper Sleep, Global Foundries, Residio, Silicon Labs, and ThreadUP. While serving on the boards of Casper, Global Foundries, and ThreadUp, these companies successfully completed their IPOs. He also consults with a variety of public or private companies, including Tile and Tonal, where he is on their board of directors. He was an advisor to Silver Peak Systems, sold to HPE, and Luxtera, sold to Cisco in 2019. Jack has served as a board member for two companies, Tube Mobile, sold to Adobe in 2016, and Quantina, sold to ON Semiconductor in 2019, that successfully completed their IPOs before being sold in public-to-public sale transactions. He was also on the boards of Mellanox, sold to NVIDIA in 2020, and Eero, sold to Amazon in March 2019. He also serves as an advisor to Boston Consulting Group and Druva, in addition to being on the advisory boards for the accounting and finance departments at Santa Clara University. He earned his BSc with an emphasis in accounting from Santa Clara University and is a certified public accountant in active. Well, Jack, I want to thank you for being able to join us here today. And what I want to do is just kind of start, we're just going to have a casual conversation. And what I'd like to start with is, what was it about when you were in college that brought you to Sigma Pi fraternity?
It's actually interesting to reflect on that because I went to Santa Clara in 1983. I grew up in Southern California. I was the only person from my high school that went to Santa Clara. I don't even remember how I found it other than I thought I could play baseball there. And pretty much baseball was everything that drove my life at the time. And so I came up in 83 and my roommate was the only person that I knew at Santa Clara. And I had known him because he lived in Thousand Oaks for a while. And I actually played baseball with him for a time. So I get up there and I realized, you know, I wanted to get out of the house. I'm like, you know, enough with mom and dad. It's time to get out of here and go have some fun. And I certainly had plenty of fun. But as I got up there, I had this realization of, you know, you have a whole new world that's in front of you, a whole new world where you control everything. And as my roommate actually told me back then, he goes, you know, you can be anybody you want to be up here. Nobody knows you and you've got a new life. And so, you know, how do you want that life to look, right? Yeah. So interestingly, my freshman year, I lived in a dorm that wasn't the core dorm for freshmen. Freshmen all live at Santa Clara. There's a dorm called SWIG. It's 10 stories high. It's where almost all the freshmen are. We lived in the dorm next door. And there was one floor of us. And on that floor were two guys actually, I see Mark on my screen right now. There were two guys that were on my floor our sophomore year said, hey, you know, maybe we should go check out this fraternity thing. And the reason it was interesting was our freshman year, you didn't really think much about fraternities. And so in the background, Sigma Pi was kind of germinating. The Zeta Eta chapter was kind of germinating. It was germinating from a bunch of guys in the SWIG who had gotten together, and one of the guys was a transfer from Loyola Marymount down south. And so they started up this chapter, and they were, you know, the Alpha Minus class, basically, right? You know, the pre-charter class. And we didn't really see a lot of that going on. But what we saw was Santa Clara at the time had one fraternity, and that fraternity was, it was not something that was very interesting to us. And as this Sigma Pi chapter was getting started in the background, there was just a, there was a focus on different things, right? You know, there was a focus on being prevalent in the academic community, but also in the community around you. There was a focus on the group as opposed to just having the best time out there. And I think that that kind of attracted us to it. And it was my pledge class was only 10 people. And we went off and did this. And, you know, we met a bunch of people that basically had the same thinking that we had, right? You know, that wanted to get a better college experience, wanted to grow a brotherhood of people, and wanted to actually experience life together, right? And make a difference together. Because one of the things you learn later in life, probably not so much in college, is the power of a group as opposed to the individual. And so I think that was a lot of it. And you know, we got in there and it was kind of fun. We were literally the alpha class of the Zeta Eta chapter, okay? So we were like the, you know, we were the total science experiment for what a pledge class should look like. And I think that bonded us as a group. And then as we got to know the rest of the guys in the fraternity, we really realized what a great experience it would be.
So when you were getting ready to graduate, Jack, like what was some of your early professional experiences that you didn't get to where you're at overnight? What was some of that early experience that you want to share with us?
Well, at a macro level, what you have to remember is I graduated in 1987 in the middle of Silicon Valley. Okay? There was a lot going on, and there was a big wave of technology that was about to happen. So, you know, as I often tell people, being in the right place at the right time is half the battle, right? And I happened to have selected a school that was right in the heart of Silicon Valley, and happened to love technology, and I happen to like startups quite a bit. Well, that's a pretty good combination in 1987 here in the Valley. And so I went off and I had an accounting degree, and, you know, and actually Mark, who I mentioned previously, had an accounting degree. We both went to work at different firms, different accounting firms. And, you know, these are the big firms you always hear about, like Price Waterhouse or Ernst & Young, and they're training grounds for accountants, right? They're crappy jobs that are ways to kind of learn the infrastructure of how you operate as a finance person, right? So I did that for 4 or 5 years to get my experience and to get my CPA, which is really the primary goal. And then I got lucky. I went to a company called Electronics for Imaging. And back in these days, this was early 90s, you couldn't actually print in color. And we take it all for granted now, right? You know, I got a color printer just over here in my office, right? But back then, in order to print in color, you had to go to a print press, which is where they would do like newspapers and things like that, right? And these were, oh my God, these were hugely expensive things to build, right? So the very first copy that you made was incredibly expensive because you're paying for the depreciation of all this equipment. Well, we invented a box that basically sat on a network, and you sent it over a network to that box, and then it went into a color copier, which if you think about it, a color copier is just a printer and a scanner, right? And so we would send it into the printer, and it would print out in color copy. And so we would sell you that box for $60,000, which was a lot of money. But the trick behind it was you, Kinko's, Office Max, whoever was buying this, would sell it to Jonathan, I'd sell it to you for $1 a page. And now all of a sudden you could get color, and it was only $1 a page, right? And the payback to an Office Max or a Kinko's was you got all your money back. You got your 60 grand back from buying the EFI product, the Fiery is what it was called. You got it back in about 45 days, which is a hell of a payback time, right? Yeah. So this company ended up growing very, very fast. It was one of the fastest growing companies in America. You know, we're in Fortune and all this other stuff. And when companies grow really fast, opportunities show up because you're growing the organizations, right? I came in as the budget guy. And, you know, next thing I knew, I was the controller, who's like the person in charge of all of accounting. And then next thing I knew, you know, my CFO left and I was the CFO of a public company when I was 29 years old.
Wow.
So I was quite fortunate, is what happened. Now, I often tell people, it's one thing to be fortunate. It's another thing to act on it when you're fortunate, right? You need to know when you're lucky. And when you're lucky, you do something about it. So because of that, I was able to become a CFO pretty early in my career and of a public company. And then I just went off and started doing a bunch of different startups and in a bunch of different fields. And one of the nice things about being in finance is it's an incredibly portable field. Everybody needs to know how to make money at some point, right? Yes. So it doesn't matter what industry you're in. I mean, I could go to, you know, chocolate syrup company. It doesn't matter. They need to know how to make money. So I've done, I started with color printing, obviously, but I did network management, which I wouldn't recommend for most people. That was a bad job. I did internet ratings. So basically the Nielsen ratings for the internet back in 1999. So I was one of those companies that took, or one of those people that took a company public in 1999. When all those companies were going public and we had the dot-com boom. Yeah. And then after that, I did semiconductors, a company called Atheros Communications, which brought you this little thing called Wi-Fi, which you may use today. Market was a little bit bigger than we thought it was gonna be. And then, you know, after that, I went to Qualcomm. We sold Atheros to Qualcomm. And then finally I retired and started to do boards, but I got called back to do GoPro because I happen to be a big mountain biker. I happen to love GoPros. And I thought, my God, I must go do this, right? And so I did that for a couple of years. Today, I just sit on boards. I'm generally an audit committee chair on most of the boards that I'm on. It's a different life. I like to say it's kind of like keeping score instead of playing the game. It's more fun to play the game, but it's a little easier to keep score sometimes too. So, I like what I do. I've got some flexibility in life and now I'm much more in the mode of giving back and helping build people and teams and really trying to put structure and integrity into businesses around the world.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Owl Talk Podcast. To learn more about the Leadership Speaker Series, just visit sigmapi.org/LSS. For everyone listening, make sure to hit subscribe and please leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. And as always, I believe.